But tonight, talking about the good portion. If there's a good and a bad portion, who wants the good portion? I do. Okay. Some of us are unsure, but hopefully after tonight we'll be sure. If you've got your Bibles here, or as Uncle Angus says, your agricultural manuals, if you're a farmer, because you can't farm without the Word of God these days. Amen. And we pray for rain. May God bless the farmers here with rain. It is much needed. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And well-known piece of scripture. So often we can just glance over it when we're reading in that part of the Bible because we've heard it before. And I know that the Lord often, when we pay attention to the Word, He will reveal new things to us as we're going through our lives and our circumstances. Things will suddenly jump out because suddenly it is very relevant for where we're at in our life, and things will start making more sense to us. That's why you can read the Bible like Oom Johan every year. You can read through the Bible, and the Lord will feed you through it, and He will prepare you for your day-to-day living and for the road ahead. And so I really thought it appropriate to share this portion of Scripture tonight. The Lord laid it on my heart for us here. And I think there's a lot of comparisons that we can draw from this piece of Scripture between Martha and ourselves. We can see a lot of how we act very often in our Martha response to that situation, and we can learn from it so that we don't need to make the same mistakes. So I just, you know, if there's anything that we can identify, you know, within us, let it be a lesson to us and an encouragement to us to choose the good portion. That's what tonight's about, is about choice and making the right choice when we confronted with so much, so many decisions on a day-to-day basis and so much busyness. I think one of the key words that you would characterize life with today is busyness, surely. In the Western culture, maybe in some African states, we can still be laid back, African time. You know, on missions, you get to church and the congregation arrives 3 hours later, you know, because it's first doing washing and, you know, to sow some seed in the vineyards and whatever else. You know, and that's kind of the norm. But for us in the Western culture, life is so rushed, and it's more the case of you don't get around to doing everything. There's definitely no time for a cup of tea for most of us. Unless you're British, there's always time for tea. Okay, so let's draw some comparisons and see what we can learn out of these four verses. Martha, clearly she knew the Lord. She invited the Lord. I mean, how many of us have had that privilege, or have we even read of in Scripture, of inviting the Lord Jesus, you know, to dinner in their house? Amazing. She knew the Lord. Her sister knew the Lord. That Mary was delivered a couple of chapters, days, weeks, months before this event, delivered from 7 demons. The Lord delivered her. Of course, their brother Lazarus, the Lord had raised from the dead before he had even met him, you know. These ladies knew Jesus and they had called for him, and he wept for Lazarus because he loved Mary and Martha already. These people, they knew each other. Martha knew the Lord, and there's Jesus, the greatest privilege, sitting in your lounge, you know. And what does Mary do? She goes and sits at his feet and listens to him teaching. Jesus is busy talking. Martha's running around in the kitchen. You know, how many of us, we're so focused on, you know, everything has to be perfect, and we really focus on the detail and little things, and sometimes we miss the big picture. You know, we don't keep the main thing the main thing. There's Mary. choosing the good portion, sitting at Jesus' feet. He's busy teaching, talking, and she's choosing to go and listen to what Jesus has to say. Martha's running around, very busy, focused on the immediate needs. People are here, people have to eat, okay? Nothing wrong with that. She is more focused on the immediate needs, on that which is actually only of temporary value. It's obviously still a lesson that she's learning. Jesus is just about to teach her a very valuable lesson. So she's not quite there yet, but she's gonna learn this lesson that Mary obviously had understanding for before this. So she's focused on the urgent. We recognize this in our day-to-day life at our workplace. You got 100 tasks on your Outlook calendar or whatever, and it's just, you know, you almost don't have time to prioritize and whatever, and you don't know where to start, and you just start somewhere. Some of the most successful businessmen today, they'll take 2 hours every morning before they start working to plan their day. And then with the remaining 6 hours, if you just look at an 8-hour working day, which is not the norm these days, but in those 6 hours, you'll be more productive and add more value than if you had started straight away, taking it from Panakanta, working 8 hours, because he prioritized, he sorted things out, he might have delegated some things, planning, putting the important before the urgent. That is something that a lot of us need to learn. Something that Martha didn't know at this stage. She was putting the urgent before the important. And you know what? Sometimes when you do that, you miss the important things. You do what has to be done right now, and you miss actually what is important. And I've learned that lesson before. And it's sad, because at the end of the day, people's lives and welfare is depending on our ability to make the important decisions. Okay. She was distracted. What was Martha distracted from? Martha was distracted. She was turned away, focused on the wrong thing. She was distracted away from what Jesus was busy talking about. You don't want to be in that place. You don't want to be distracted from what Jesus is trying to say. Whatever Jesus is saying is clearly going to be number one in terms of rank of importance and priority. Don't want to be distracted there. She was distracted from listening to the Lord. What else do we see there? We see her complaining about work. She's all busy and stuff, and there's a lot to be done. And she's already moaning. You can pick up the attitude there. How many of us, you know, fall into that category sometimes? We love to moan about work. We love to moan about our bosses, our workload, the overtime, this and then that. And I'm not saying that bosses that demand like overtime and you can't see your family, I'm not saying that's a good thing at all. But I'm saying, what is our attitude towards work? I'm focusing on what's happening in our hearts. She was complaining there. She was comparing what she was doing to what Mary was doing. Mary's just, you know, she's not seeing the bigger picture. She's just seeing Mary sitting down, and she realizes there's a lot to be done. So now she's complaining. She's comparing herself to other people. She's just operating here on the temporary. She's operating on the urgent, on the busyness. She's missing the Lord completely. Jesus isn't featuring in her thinking. What Jesus wants isn't featuring in her thinking. Jesus obviously wants to tell Mary something. Jesus is happy to tell Mary something, and that is what is more important. So at the end of the day, Martha was quite self-focused. As a result of a heart towards the situation, a failure to see the bigger picture, she was getting more and more troubled, more and more anxious. What was the Lord's response to her when she eventually cracked and said, Lord, but tell Mary to come and help me in the kitchen? I mean, honestly, carrots need to be peeled. Okay. Jesus, I'm just going to kind of expound on what Jesus said. You know, he was pointing out to a lot of things. In that quick answer, that's jam-packed, it's loaded. I mean, and you can read out of the situation, and from knowing Jesus, you know what is all the things that he's busy pointing out to you. But basically, we can see that Jesus is understanding that life is busy. Life is comprised of many facets, many things that can trouble and overwhelm you. I mean, who can identify with that? Life isn't always Maanskyn en rose, like Hercules said last week. You know, it's not always Maanskyn and rose. It's life is tough. Life can be difficult. Life throws curveballs. It's not always predictable. Life happens, as they say. You know, and we need to kind of just sometimes you need to be able to roll with the punches and just keep going. Just roll with the punches, okay? Remember who you've got on your side. Remember who's on your side. Remember what you are capable of. What does the Bible say? Anything. Anything can come my way. I've got the God of the universe on my side. I've got Him looking out for me. I've got Him to help me in any given situation. The enemy can throw whatever he wants at me. Life and the history and everything can throw whatever they want at me. People can treat me whatever way they like. The whole world can be against me. If God is on my side, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Life has a lot that it can throw at you that will overwhelm you at times, where you'll feel emotionally drained. We need to realize, as the Lord said, you are troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. There is one thing that is important. One thing is most important. Take everything else away. One thing remains. There's one thing you cannot do without. Mary has chosen that. What's that? Sitting at my feet. Relationship is all important. Relationship with others is important. The busyness of life eats into relationship. You cannot do relationship without time. Relationship implies time invested in people. We need relationship with people. Families are built on solid relationship. What do we see today? What do we see in this town? Families disintegrating, breaking up, relationships being severed, hurt, beyond recognition, people going in different directions, scattered. That is not God's heart. God's heart is for relationship. More specifically, relationship with Him. That is the answer. That is the priority. The Lord uses these teachable moments. He loves it. Pharisees and Sadducees will come, you know, and wannabes and all of these people will come and they'll want to challenge Jesus. He'll just turn their words around, throw it right back at them, and they'll be stumped. He uses teachable moments. He's the ultimate teacher. He's the man who stands at the center of humanity and history. And he knows what he's talking about. When he talks, you listen. When he talks to Martha, yeah, this is a life-changing moment for her. He tells us we must listen to what he has to say and we'll be okay. Mary has chosen the good portion. We need to look beyond our immediate needs and our situation. There she is in the house. Things have to get done. What? You need to start looking beyond the urgent. You need to be able to recognize the important. Prioritize. Ronald's scripture, I don't even need to continue talking tonight. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that trouble you, these things that make you anxious, that cause you to stay up at night. The Lord will add those things. He will take care of that. Amazing, the promises of God for His children. Guarantees, ultimate insurance. It's better than outsurance. Outsurance, you might always get something out, you know, but the Lord will bless you day in, day out. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. If you add up your insurance payments and what you've claimed, I'm sure outsurance is still smiling all the way. With God, in God's economy, it doesn't work like that. We throw seeds in the ground and we reap a mighty harvest. We need to start focusing on the things of eternal value and importance. Martha was focused on that which is temporary. What's going to happen in 10 minutes? People might get hungry. I cannot look like a bad host. Oh, what will people think? We need to start looking at what is of eternal value. Jesus is not going to be around here forever. Mary knew that. She had already anointed him at Bethany. Okay? She knew he's not going to be around for long. So when you have the Lord with you, when you know the Lord wants to speak to you, when you feel that urge, that prompting of the Holy Spirit, spend time with me now. We need to jump. We need to forego all other things and go and sit at the feet of the Lord. We need to go and be quiet before the Lord and listen to what He has to say. Significance. We're all after significance in life. We all want our life to mean something. It became such a strong desire within me. You know, as I grew closer and closer to my appointment with God, when my life changed, I wanted my life to mean something. I had this deep need for significance in life. And as I found after the Lord saved me, is that you can only find significance in relationship with Jesus Christ. Only through Him can we know why we've been created, what we've been made for, what our God-given purpose is in this life. And it's only in fulfilling that purpose that we can find significance in this life, that we can feel fulfilled. I know especially men have this deep hunger that the Lord has placed within us to go and accomplish things ultimately for Him, not for ourselves. We need to start thinking in lines of what do you want written on your tombstone one day? You know, He made a lot of money. He was successful in establishing this business, and, you know, well done. Or He was a servant to all. He loved people. He made a difference in people's lives. We will miss Him, you know. He served the Lord. He did what the Lord asked of Him. He established the kingdom of God. These are things that we want to be desiring more and more. More and more as the Lord is working in us for His will and His to do, His pleasure. That is what we are to live for. Significance lies in relationship with God. You cannot become more significant by doing more things. You can only become more significant by doing more of what God has asked you to do. And God never overwhelms us in terms of busyness. Because to God, relationship is number one. If you have a family, God expects you to have strong relationship with your family, to spend time with your wife and your children. Then otherwise you're neglecting the biggest gift this side of eternity that God has given us, is our families. We need to spend time there. We need to be a blessing within those relationships. It doesn't help you spend time, but you're horrible to each other the whole time. That doesn't help either. We need to be a blessing to one another. Relationship. God won't overwhelm us. What does He say in His word? He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That doesn't sound like something that overwhelms us. That doesn't sound like something that we cannot cope with. With the Lord yoked by our side, He carries the heavy burden. For us, it is easy, it is light. But what do we see? We see someone like Martha, and Jesus is in the room. And she's overwhelmed. She's overburdened. And it's actually about mundane, temporary things that she's worried about, troubled about, anxious about. Mary's in the same room, same circumstances. The next 3 hours, they're going to be exposed to, they're in the same environment. But Mary is sitting content at the feet of Jesus. You know, and so we can be two people sitting next to each other in church, and we hear the same messages, and we expose and experience the same God. He's in the room with all of us. He's here now. And some of us can be very troubled within, and the person next to you can be at complete peace. How is that? The ball is in our court, people. It's our choice. What did Jesus say to Martha? Mary chose the good portion. It's your choice. You can choose to be running around busy, chasing the wind, chasing after things that is important to the world out there, but doesn't feature on God's priority list. Like Ronald said, chasing money. Yes, yes, money makes the world go round. God will supply in your need. Doesn't mean you must sit on the couch all day. Mary didn't sit down on the floor day in, day out. But when the Lord was there, when the Lord wanted to speak to her, then she sat, then she was attentive, she was present to the Lord. We need to recognize the moments that we must embrace in life. We need to learn to prioritize. We need to know when to put down the pen and paper and when to go and sit and be quiet with the Lord. We need to know, well, when it's time to lock up at work and go home because our family needs us. We need to know, we need to prioritize, we need to put the eternal and the important before the temporary and the urgent. Many of us, we need to go through a time of pruning, cutting out the dead works, finding out, Lord, you know, I've got so much on my plate, I can't cope anymore, I'm overwhelmed, and I know this is not your heart, this is not your will for me. I do not need to go through life anxious and troubled, i.e., I must be doing a lot of stuff that you don't want me to be doing. What must I cut out? And maybe cutting out some of the stuff is going to diminish your income flow. So what? Make the right decision. Life is more than money. The world determines success based on money more often than not. Your bank balance. God does not, that doesn't come into his equation. The richest people are not going to sit in the front rows in heaven one day. In fact, the Lord said something that's more to the contrary. He said it's very difficult for a rich man to get to heaven because guess why? Because during your whole life, you're too worried about money and making a lot of it, then about the Lord and what's on his heart. You're missing something altogether. We need to prioritize people. We need to come to terms with what's happening. I mean, we live in Cape Town, the mother city. Yes, everything takes 9 months to happen. But still, not quite like Joburg, maar daar is nog 'n gejaag vir geld hierso. And status. Who can live the closest to the beach, you know? I praise God, my opa Groetjie built a house on the beach, on the rocks, lekker. The Lord has blessed me, I can go down there when I want to. And that's lekker, but you know, if I have to choose between that and God, I will choose God. If God sends me to the Karoo somewhere to go and live there permanently to build a church or something, I will do it. It's not going to be an easy decision, but I will make that decision. We've got to prioritize. Charlene and I were ready to go wherever the Lord would send us. And yeah, we praise God that we're here because we're still close to our parents and all of that. And it's good for that relationship. And they enjoy the grandkids. So opas and omas hier is. Hulle sal weet. Dis lekker om by jou kleinkinders te wees. Right. We need to, at the end of the day, Jesus is not going to walk in flesh and blood into your living room tonight. But by his Spirit, he's close to each one of us. And those that have received him as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God is within us. We sang tonight, he dances over us. The Lord is, he's always with us. We can get on our knees at any time. We can shut the door and cry out to God and speak to the Lord at any time and inquire of him, Lord, what do you want for my life? What would you like to teach me now? I'm lacking in so many areas. I'm by no means mature. I'm far from perfect. Lord, I need your help. There's no such thing as a self-made man when it comes to the kingdom of God. We need God to change us. And he's just waiting for our willingness. We need to present ourselves to him. Romans 12, we need to present ourselves to the Lord so that he can change us. He doesn't force himself on anyone. He's a gentleman. He comes by invitation. We need to spend time to God, find out what's in his heart for us. We need to have Mary's attitude. We need to choose the good portion. We have an awesome responsibility that stretches far beyond our immediate needs and situations. The Lord would have us make far-reaching impact into the world, leave legacy behind for generations to come, leave blessings behind. And I'm not talking about money and stuff like that. The Lord does say, a wise man will leave an inheritance for his children and his children's children. You know, we need to start planning ahead. Too many of us, we're still self-focused and that kind of thing. When we obey the Lord, when we follow His footsteps, there will be provision for everybody. People will come to know the Lord and His goodness. People will get healed. People will get delivered and saved. Mary knew that power of God. And she wanted to be near Him. Now, we have an awesome responsibility. We read in Genesis 1, the Lord gave us dominion over every living thing that moves on this earth. He gave us dominion. He took, in a sense, a step back and He said, there, I've made this for you. Like, this is your playground, but look after it, bless it, be a good steward. What does He ask of us? He's asked us, we need to pray and find out, Lord, but what do You want us to do here? We need to pray. We need to get down on our knees. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Who of us have ears here? I think most of us have two of them. You've got one mouth, two ears. Maybe we should more operate in that relationship. Listen twice as much as we speak. Be very quick to speak. When it comes to God, how many of us spend time listening to what's on His heart? Not speaking, not coming with our wish list, our demand list. Listening what's on God's heart. And that rings true for us as individuals, but also as a church. As a church corporately, why is there church? Why is there a body of Christ? Because when we work together, we can achieve so much more. A dismembered body is not going to achieve anything, but a functioning body that's all together can run the comrades' marathon, can do a lot of things, can plant a vineyard and reap a harvest. We need to start working together as a church. We need to corporately seek God's heart. You saw the sort of new title for our prayer meeting, Stop and Listen, because that's actually what happened. That's what we want to see happening. That's what we're trying. And it's great. The more, the better. We need to get there as a church together. Yeah, what's on God's heart for us? We need to stop. For me, I've enjoyed our times of prayer together as a church so much the last while, and we haven't always had a lot of people. But really, it is a breakaway. It's a place where you can just come and just rest and relax in God's presence and hear what's on His heart. You can just worship Him and listen. What does He have to say? And He's so faithful. He talks to us every time. Who doesn't want to hear God's voice? Who doesn't want to hear what He wants us to be part of? What He wants us to do? What He wants us to pray for? It is blessed. You don't need to be a great prayer warrior to come to our prayer meetings. You don't have to say one word. Just come, just sit in God's presence, soak up His presence, listen to what He has to say, and you'll grow in your confidence and your boldness to pray along. There's power in agreement. That's why we pray together. Yes, you must pray on your own at home. Yes, we worship God on our own at home and in the car, and we read the Bible, but that isn't the whole Christian experience and life that God wanted for each of us. Jesus instituted church. There's a reason why we call the body of Christ. There's a bride that He's coming back for. We need to start working together. Together we can do so much more. This is not a new concept. Corporations worldwide have seen economies of scale. The bigger you get, the more money you can make, the more successful you can be. Church, the more we are, the more we work together specifically in unity, the more we can accomplish for the kingdom of God, the bigger the difference we can make out there. We need to come and listen to what God has to say for us. I'm just going to run through the next section. Different ways that God speaks to us. I've mentioned this before. He speaks to us through His word. Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He gives us direction. He teaches us how as well. In Timothy, it's about teaching, a correction, instruction. He teaches us through people, number two. Makes use of preachers. Who's a preacher? Yes, I'm a preacher. You guys have also been called as preachers. Preaching just means you speak the word of God where you go. And it's not about condemning. It's not about judging people. It's about loving people, sharing with people that God loves them, that he has demonstrated that for them at the cross. So that's why we say the gospel is good news to everyone who hears it. Who doesn't want to hear that God loves them? Because that is the truth. God is not angry at humanity anymore. Jesus carried all the sin of the whole world from Adam to the last man that lives, that will do a sin before the Lord comes back. He's paid the price in full. God is not angry at people anymore. People need to hear that message. That is good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It unlocks people's hearts. We need to know the truth, spend time in his word, and be shared with people. This is how God speaks to us, through his word, through people. We know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, prophecies, words of knowledge, etc., etc. God speaks to us through dreams, number 3, and visions. In Joel chapter 2, it says, the old men shall dream dreams. Now, I know no one here has dreamt dreams yet because no one's old, but one day we'll get there. He'll give us visions as well. Joseph was a younger man as well in his day, and he saw dreams. God spoke to him through dreams. So, yes, we can all dream. And Paul saw a vision of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and the Lord also spoke to him. Fourthly, through nature. I'm just rushing through this part. Just to recap, in a sense, God spoke to Abraham through the stars. He revealed to him the stars, the countless stars in the sky and the heavens, and said, well, your descendants will be like that. Multitudes. And Abraham was still without an heir when God gave him that promise. And did God watch over his word and perform it? Yes. He's not a man that he should lie. When God speaks to you, you can run with it. You can run with it. You don't have to worry about whether God will come through for you. We need to start getting to know God's voice, because God's not the only one speaking to us. We need to know when it's sometimes our own ideas that's coming through and we think, hey, that sounds great. Maybe that was God. Even if it's a good idea, doesn't mean it's a God idea. You've heard that before. And guess what? There's an accuser of the brethren. There's a father of lies. He likes to disguise himself. He's called a deceiver. Satan talks to people as well. I'll tell you just now how we can discern what is God's voice. God speaks through nature. He spoke to me. That's how I ended up here, through a cloud formation. Hallelujah. Does that make you feel confident? Okay, it was the first time God spoke to me in that way, but it was crystal clear. I've never seen anything like it. He spelt out this area in the clouds. Praise God. You could probably only see it from my angle, so no one can deny that. God spoke through animals before. Balaam's donkey, very interesting. You can go and read it in Numbers 22. What's funny for me is that Balaam didn't skrik. You know, in a big way when his donkey starts speaking to him, but he smacked him. Watch out, when your animals start speaking to you, don't respond by hitting them, you know. Just now, they know karate as well. Okay, so just watch out. Anyway, God can speak to us verbally, audibly. I maintain that he spoke to me audibly when I was a young boy, but like Samuel, for the few times, I didn't know that it was the Lord that was speaking to me. So it was only much later that I came to know the Lord. But yeah, that's special. And spirit to spirit, Romans 8 verse 16. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The spirit of God within us bears testimony. There's a confirmation that happens. There's a place where you just know that you know. Like you know you're going to be okay if you die today. You know you have a relationship with Jesus. It's a day-to-day thing. It's not like you have to strive or you think if you're going to do enough good things in this life, you'll get to heaven one day. You know, because you know Jesus. He's like, he's with you all the time, and you speak to him, you hear his voice. You just know the Spirit of God bears witness, and he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. There, John 16, you can read. And then finally, our conscience also ministers to us, brings word from God. In the sense, the law is written on our hearts, our conscience bears witness and accuses us or excuses us in the same way. So we are born, as they say, with a God-shaped void, and that's why people try and fill it with all manner of things. And if you on a desert island, a lot of those people maybe carve some image to bow down, but we realize there's something greater out there. There is some purpose bigger than ourselves that we have been called and created to live for. And we can just thank God that we know. We can thank God that He has grace and mercy for those that don't know yet, and He will send people, and if people refuse to go, He will minister to those people personally. God is fair and just. We can just pray people come to know Him at an early age, the world will be a better place. Okay. How do we know that it's God speaking to us? Again, I'm just going to rush through this. Well, John chapter 10, you can read all about it. His sheep, they know His voice. They know His voice. You just know. Like you know who your parents are. You don't have to go and, you know, and they know you. There's this intimate relationship. In Matthew 10, when He says, depart from me, you practice lawlessness, but you don't know me. That know is the Greek word, is the same for intimacy between a husband and wife. There's an intimate knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know who my wife is. I'm not confused about that. My parents know me and I know them. I don't have to show my ID. I went there this week and I didn't have to show my ID at the door. Remember me? Yeah, maybe I got one more gray hair, but I used to live in that back room there. No, you know your Heavenly Father. You know His voice. Okay, you know His voice. If you don't know His voice, you have to ask yourself some serious questions. You can live with that assurance. You can surrender your life to the Lord and He will come and He will change your life. And He will lead you. John chapter 16, He will guide you. The Spirit of God will guide you in all truth. The Spirit of God will bring glory to Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we mustn't quench the Spirit, despise prophecies, but we must test everything. When someone speaks a word over you and says, but you're going to amount to this and this in your life, but you're going to accomplish this and this for the Lord, we need to go and test that. The Lord will give us confirmation if we require that. And if it's something pertaining to something that's in Scripture, of course, we must go and test it to the Word of God. When God speaks to you, when someone brings you a message from God, it will never contradict Scripture. God will never tell you to go and kill someone, even if they're a bad person, because Jesus said we should turn the other cheek. We must love people, even our enemies. To hate is likened to murder. We need to sort out our heart. You won't even get close to murder if you follow Jesus. Okay, so there's certain non-negotiables. We test it to the Word of God. And then also, when it's a word from God, it's going to glorify Jesus Christ. It's never going to paint Jesus in a bad light. Because God would see Jesus glorified. God would see Jesus glorified. When we glorify Jesus, we glorify God. Jesus is God. The Holy Trinity cannot separate them. Then something that I just want to maybe just slow down ever so slightly. I just want to read this scripture for you in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. He said, this is Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Okay, that was the Lord. The Lord can send a lot of stuff, can do anything. But more often than not, when He wants to speak to us, when He wanted to speak to Elijah, He will speak to us. He's not mute. He can talk to us. He can do a lot of things. But He wants to speak to you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know and understand His heart. He will talk to you at your level. He will meet you where you're at. You don't have to worry that, oh, I'm not intellectual enough to come to God or to understand what He has to say to me. Or maybe you've got an old King James version of the Bible and it's like, oh, but when the Lord speaks as thou and I, shalt, and I just don't understand that language. Die Here praat Afrikaans. Hallelujah. He speaks any language. Okay? He's the still, small voice. We need to become still. We need to find a quiet place. You want to choose the good portion. You want to know what's on God's heart for you, because you're just tired of running around and you know that it's impossible that everything that you're doing is what the Lord has asked you to do, because your burden doesn't feel easy or light. You need to meet with the Lord. You need to ask Him what's on His heart for you. You need to become quiet. You need to go and separate yourself. You need to close the door behind you. Switch the cell phone off. You need to get out of the house and go. We live by the sea, people, as lekker. Go park your car there if it's cold, or go for a walk. I love the mountains. Grew up in Stellenbosch. And I had some precious times with the Lord out in Yonkerzoek, climbing up where nobody's been before and sitting there in nature and just spending time reading the Word and sitting and listening and watching and waiting for the Lord. And the Lord blessed me each time, spoke to me, gave me direction. At crucial times in my life, I will separate myself and I'll go and wait. I'll go and wait on the Lord because I need that direction. I cannot make a big decision without making sure that I've heard clearly what the Lord wants. We need to make those quality choices. Now, we're not always near the mountains. Go down to the sea. Not always near a quiet place. You know, if you have kids, little babies, just you got to adapt. The routine's got to change. It's difficult. We now have got our second one is still only 4 months, and it's challenging at times. You're juggling a bit, and my wife Charlene's amazing with the children. And you know, we're quite busy with the church and stuff, and sometimes it's difficult to find that quiet time. Because the kids are up till, you know, sometimes they're keeping you busy till very late until you're like really uitgeput, and then they start before you start in the morning. Okay. They've just been blessed in that way. All right. And so it's difficult sometimes to find the quiet place. And I realized that in a startling way this weekend. We're in Stellenbosch, and we took the kids for a walk, and they walk sort of down a hill. I had a little ball I was playing with Christian, and the ball rolled and rolled into a drain. Okay. And I thought, no, I can try and get... Anyway, I managed to get the drain cover off. I mean, some of you will know that have tried. That's quite a challenge. Well done, I did it. Okay. And then it's like, whoa, this drain was deep. It was like 8 foot deep, this drain. But there was like sort of two pegs. I climbed down into the drain, and it's a confined space. But it was quite interesting for me that it was quite a lekker experience for me. I don't like spiders and stuff, and a few cobwebs, but I wasn't too fazed by that. The Lord's gotten me over that already. Okay, I won't go and do Fear Factor, but I'm happy with spiders now. So I'm in the drain, and it's just like I'm just surrounded by wall, just all around me. There's the ball, you know. I crouch down to get the ball, and it's actually quite lekker. It's quiet. There's no screaming. You know, I'm like, I could stay here for a while. You know, Lord, you have something to say to me. Anyway, I know I need to get back out there and just hear something clearly again, because so often we kind of squeeze the Lord into time slots and stuff like that, and it's never like 100% quiet and without distraction. So, you know, I'm operating quite often more in Martha's realm than in Mary's realm. You know, and that's a wake-up call. You know, and I believe a lot of us with the busyness, the demands of life, I mean, you just don't get left alone. You know, there's just always admin to be done, and, you know, everything just to keep food on the table and the lights on and the car with petrol and stuff. There's always things to be done. We need to kind of prioritize, but we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to ensure that the one thing that is necessary that Jesus said to Martha, that we keep Jesus the main focus, all right? So we must watch out when it comes to the things of God that we don't move in presumption. God will not always change your circumstances, but He will do what's best for you to bring about the ultimate outcome of your salvation. Like the robber hanging by his side on the cross, it said, Lord, remember me when you go to be in paradise. Jesus didn't change his situation, his circumstance. Jesus didn't take him off the cross. He could have. He could have commanded angels to take that man off the cross, put him down in a safe place because the man had repented. But Jesus said, didn't do that. He didn't change his circumstance, but he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He saved the man's soul. So we must watch out for running in presumption. Sometimes we think we're doing God's will, but when was the last time we truly heard, are we still on the right track? We need to take that time out. We need to choose the good portion. We need to hear what's on God's heart for us. Okay, my final few points. When God does speak to us, obviously, we must be willing. Our hearts mustn't be hardened, as in Hebrews 3. We must hear what the Lord has to say. We must be good stewards of the revelations that God gives to us. The things of God are only as powerful as what they are precious to you. Okay. In Matthew chapter 7, we ministered on this a few weeks ago. We must be wise. Someone who hears the word of God and does it, it's like a man who builds his house on the rock. The storms of life will come and the house will not fall. We can sit in church, we can read the word, we can pray to God, and the things that he speaks to us, we can neglect it, ignore it. We do that at our own peril. The storms of life will come and our house will fall, and great will be its fall. Okay, we need to heed the word of God. Sometimes, more often than not, our lives are in a mess. More often than not, I didn't say always. We are in a mess because we have not heeded the word of the Lord. Okay. So we need to find out what that is for us, and then we must do it. Say, do it. Yes. Wait on the Lord. It's my final point. We need to wait on the Lord. Psalm 62, the psalmist says so beautifully, For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. From God alone, my soul waits in silence. There's a place where we just quiet before the Lord. We're just resting in him. We're waiting on him, but it's deliberate. It doesn't just happen like while I'm waiting in the queue at McDonald's and I'm focused on when's my burger coming. Okay, I don't recommend McDonald's from the pulpit. But it doesn't just happen. You deliberately separate yourself and you wait in silence on God. Then your salvation will come. Then your direction will come. Psalm 25, hallelujah. I'm going louder. The kids are going louder. Water. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Are you guys still with me? For you are wait all the day long. Patient. We need to be patient when it comes to God. We used to McDonald's, 2 minutes. Lord, I need a fix. I need the answer. Help me now. We cannot dictate how God should speak to us or when. We should just be able to be content at his feet. That should be the best place for us to be, even if it takes a year to answer us. That's where we want to be, inquiring of the God, waiting for him, worshiping him while we're waiting for him. So we need to listen more. We need to be quiet more when we're spending time with God, and we need to be patient. And then Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We need to go with an expectation to God. Your expectation is his invitation. We need to go to him believing he's going to talk to us, knowing he wants the best for you and that he's got a plan for your life. If you don't think God has a plan for you, for your life, if you don't think you're special to him, how many of you are going to hear what he has to say about you? I mean, there's a huge hurdle that you have to overcome before you even hear his voice. We need to go with an expectation. No, take it for granted. God has a plan for you and he wants to communicate it to you. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes, but don't presume. But go with an expectation. Okay, so when we wait on the Lord, we wait quietly, patiently, expectantly. Waiting on God is also not passive. The next slide, it we meditate on the Word of God, the first psalm. My delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law, he meditates day and night. Okay? We can meditate on the Word of God. I just thought we can do a quick exercise. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, that we look to Him. Okay? Very applicable. Now, something that is kind of lost to the church in this day and age is meditating on Scripture by means of repetition, getting the Word in you, feeding your spirit with that Word, expecting to come to know that Word in a deeper way, in a more intimate way, having that Word find its rightful place in your life. Especially if there's something, if it's a characteristic of God that you doubt or that you haven't experienced, like maybe you don't know God as your provider. Okay? Well, the Scripture says, don't worry. We heard in Matthew 6:33, He will add all these things to you. He's speaking of material things that you need in your day-to-day. He knows that you need it and He will give it to you. Then you need to remind, you need to get that Scripture. If you don't believe that, if you struggle to trust God for your provision, if you worry at night about whether you're going to have food on the table, okay, whether you're going to survive or whether you're going to die of hunger. So I'm not talking about a T-bone steak. I'm talking about whether, you know, you're going to make it or if you're not going to eat at all. Then you need to repeat that Scripture. I will seek first the kingdom of God, your righteousness, and you will add all these things to me. I will seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and you will add all these things to me. I will seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. You will add all these things to me. You know, it's a powerful exercise to repeat that to yourself. The truth. Get the truth in you. Feed your spirit man to a place where you will not be able to deny it, even if you haven't seen it yet. Because maybe you haven't experienced need in that capacity yet, but you haven't seen God's provision in that way yet. You will be ready the next time if that comes around, because you will know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know that there's a stat that something like 90% of the things people worry about and lose sleep over never happens. Worrying has never added one cubit to a man's life, as the Lord tells us. It doesn't help to worry. Do the birds worry? No. Okay, do this with me. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Let's say that together. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, just keep saying that. And think about what you're saying. Focus on it. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. No, we need to get back to biblical meditation. We need to get it in us. It's not about sitting in the lotus position, sitting on a Bible. You know, stand on the Word of God. This one pastor was trying to help someone who's demonized, and some other pastor told him, but you've got to stand on the Word of God. And then they found this pastor standing on a Bible, you know, and it's obviously not helping. Okay. So please, people, but we need to get the Word in us. When we wait on God, also, we worship. We worship while we wait. We worship, yeah, when we pray together as a church, we spend some time worshiping. There's something about it that helps us to focus on God, that helps us to separate from the busyness of life out there. And obviously it brings glory to God. An example in Acts chapter 16 of Paul and Silas trapped in prison. And they were just worshiping God. The other prisoners were listening. And God intervened miraculously. And they were free to go, but instead they waited. They saw the bigger picture and what God's heart was, because they were focused on Him. They knew what God wanted. And they led the jailer and ultimately his family to the Lord as well. So praise God for that. At the moment, as a church, yeah, Shofar Table View, we trust in God for a vision to take us to the next step, the next part of God's plan for us as a church. We've kind of reached the end of a season, and we've embarked on a new season, but we definitely need a new vision and a strategy from God. We want to exist for more than what's happening inside this building, you know, and just with our lives. We want to make an impact in this town. We want to see people come and worship God. We want to see people surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we need a strategy as a church. How do we, where exactly does God want to use us amongst all the churches in this town? And so what we're doing at our prayer meeting now on Thursday nights, and we started now this Thursday, really trusting the Lord to show us what is the next step. What is the strategy, the vision that He has for us? And I want to invite you now formally to join us, spread the word in your small groups. Join us on a Thursday evening, if at all possible. And we're just going to stop and listen, like the title that you saw on the slide. Okay, we're not trying to be deep spiritual intercessors or whatever. You don't feel like you have to fit in that category. God wants to speak to all of us. Okay, we can all hear from God. And we're just going to come and sit here and wait on the Lord and worship Him and wait to hear what He has to say. I'm not coming with any agenda, just waiting to hear what's on the Lord's heart for us in this time. It is apparent that the Lord wants us to make a new impact or to do something new. There's a new season we're going into. And before we start running in presumption, I want to make sure that we know what's on God's heart for us. And I want to invite you can be part of the process. So please join us Thursday evenings, if at all possible. I'd like to ask the ushers if you can hand out the communion. We're just going to close off by having communion together. It's the first Sunday of the month, and we normally do it the first Sunday of the month. We invite you to have communion as often as you can. Have communion in your small groups, at home. It is so powerful in remembering what Jesus did for us. That is the center of what we believe, what Jesus did for us, who Jesus is. And that's what communion does. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Bread representing His body that was beaten, hung on the cross for all. And the juice representing symbolic of His blood that flowed for us for the forgiveness of our sin. So we can be free here tonight. We can go home with a clear conscience. When you're feeling guilty, it's because you're allowing Satan to minister to you. As believers, you don't have to feel guilty about anything. You don't have to fear death. If you don't need to fear death, you surely don't need to fear anything else. No spider, no sickness, no nothing. You don't need to be afraid. That is the power of God at work in the believer. No guilt, no fear. And we remember what Jesus did for us at precious times like this, when it's so tangible in that sense, when we have communion together. The Bible does warn us we mustn't take it lightly when we have communion. And we must make sure that we don't have any grudge, any bitterness, any offense towards someone else in the church or in the body of Christ, against any other believer. How can we partake in a visible public declaration of God's forgiveness, but we don't have forgiveness towards another believer? You know? So we must make sure when we have communion that ons saak is reg met die Here en met ons broer. Anders moet ons gaan regmaak met ons broer. We must say, you know that thing that happened that I got so mad about, well, I forgive you, because I cannot proceed in my relationship with the Lord if I cannot forgive you, my brother. Okay. We need to make sure of these kind of things. People, the Lord is about relationship, choosing the good portion, relationship with Him and relationship with others. That's what it's about, okay? Let's make sure we keep the main thing, that we do things right, that we prioritize in our life, we make the right choices, all right? Just want to encourage you tonight. And I want to thank you that on a long weekend, that you guys came very faithful. Thank you very much. I want to thank you. You are choosing rightly. You choose to invest in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You choose to be part of a young man, Christopher's life, and bless him in his walk with the Lord. You've chosen rightly. I want to encourage you, keep on making the right choice. Keep on making the right choice. You will never regret choosing relationship above performance or duty or works. Relationship number one. Relationship number one. Why is it so hard for us to mend broken relationships? Why is it so hard to say sorry? Why is it so hard to say I forgive you? Because in our culture and in this age, we've lost. The relationship has lost its thrust and its meaning and its importance. We must get back there. Jesus taught us. It's all about relationship. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to say thank you tonight. We want to say thank you for what you did for us at the cross, Lord. You paved the way for us. You made it possible that we can know the Father. By receiving forgiveness, believing in what you did for us at the cross, Lord, we've been cleansed of all our sin, that we can come into the presence of a holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you did it for us. It is finished, as you said on the cross. The work has been completed. You are the author of our faith. You are the finisher of our faith. It's all about you. You're the beginning and you're the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We bless you tonight, Lord. We remember what you did for us at the cross. You gave up your life so that we can find new life. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. Let's eat together. Jesus, we want to thank you for your blood that flowed for us. Your blood that speaks of better things than that of Abel, Lord. Your blood that has removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. That you choose, Lord, not to remember it or hold it against us. That we can go through life without guilt, Lord. You did not come to condemn us, Jesus, or to judge us, Lord. You came to forgive us. You came to give us life by offering up your life. And we thank you for your blood tonight. Your blood that flowed for each one of us, Lord. Your blood that flowed for the many that are still lost out there. Lord, we just want to thank you that your blood is more than enough. Your blood is all we need, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, string together. And just keep your heads bowed. Now, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for our time spent here tonight, our time worshiping you and waiting on you, Lord, praising your name. We want to thank you, Lord, for Christopher, Lord God, and the plans that you have for him, Lord. We just bless him in that. Bless Rian and Madeleine as parents. Thank you that you've given them everything they need to be amazing parents, Lord. Thank you they don't have to fear the unknown, Lord, because you are with them and you are already in tomorrow. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for reminding us, Lord God, of the choices that lie before us. You say that before us there's a choice of life and death. There's a bad portion, there's a good portion, Lord. You don't interfere, Lord. You give us the freedom to choose. We want to thank you for that freedom, Lord, that freedom that for so long that we have abused. But Lord, thank you that there's grace for coming back. Thank you, Lord, that there's grace to make the right choice, to choose the good portion. You just keep your head bowed. If maybe for a long time you've just kind of got tangled up in the things of this world, in the busyness of life, you know you've neglected the good portion and your relationship with the Lord. You know he's been waiting for you and you've just kind of been carrying on with what you thought was important, but you realize now you've missed it completely, and you want to come back to the Lord. You realize that there's some disconnect there. Your relationship with God is not right as it is right now, and you want to come back to Jesus. You right now, you want to make that choice. You want to choose the good portion. You want to sit by His feet. You want to know what His plans are for you. You want to know Him. You can, everyone just keep their eyes closed. You raise your hand if that is you. You want to make right with Jesus. Then raise your hand. Just be so bold. Just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you tonight. Is there anyone like that yet? Lord, I just speak your blessing over this congregation, Lord. Even those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, but they're part of this family, Lord. I just speak your blessing over them and wherever they are, that you'd bring them home safe. But Lord, I pray especially for those here tonight, Lord, that they would treasure your word in their hearts, that they would treasure and deem as precious their time spent with you, that you would help all of us to prioritize and give us the grace to choose the good portion, Lord. Help us to recognize if we've gotten so busy, Lord God, and we've missed things. We've missed what's on your heart. Help us to critically look at our lives and our busyness and to discover that which you would have us cut out. Give us the grace to cut out the dead works, the dead branches. Lord, we can do without that, Lord. Lord, we want to do what you have called us to do in this life. We want to be successful in your eyes. And we bless you, Lord, tonight. And we thank you that you have given us life. You've given us significance and meaning in this life. Thank you that we can be part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that we can live for your kingdom and for things of eternal value. And I just bless this congregation in that, in their destiny. I speak your protection over every seed that has been sown. I claim the hearts of the people here as good soil. And I thank you that these seeds will germinate and they'll bring forth 10-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you to the Krausers. Please have a cupcake before you go home. If anyone has any prayer requests, please come forward. Love to pray for you. Okay, God bless you.